Leadership File on Premier.
It's my joy to welcome you to the Leadership File, the show that aims to help you lead as Christ would have you lead, wherever he has placed you. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and whether you listen live on a Sunday or are one of the many thousands who catch up via the podcast, it's great that you can join us. Every church leader faces the challenge of staying connected to people who might be open to God. Some find this through the people who come to the church seeking God, but many know that much time can go by without ever having a faith conversation with someone outside the church family, and indeed leading them to faith. Well, this was Dave Barham's experience. Dave is one of the leaders of Community Church at Chafford Hundred, and he was part of the original team that planted the church in 1996, has been in leadership ever since. He also oversees the South Essex Cluster for Relational Mission. Dave is married to Anita and has three grown-up children. So this week's Leadership File, he shares how some new approaches have galvanised his personal witness and how this has eventually translated to the whole church. So, David, welcome to the Leadership File. Great to have you along. Are you a David or a Dave?
I get called all sorts, but David.
David is normally. David, normally. Okay, fine. David it is. So your journey into this work?
Yes, well, been in a Christian family. I'm fourth generation Christian.
Oh, wow.
And brought up in the Salvation Army.
Okay.
And so very used to being on the streets with the Salvation Army as a youngster. We used to take a 20-piece brass band at 10 o'clock in the morning and go and stand outside somebody's house and strike up.
What day of the week?
On Sunday morning.
Oh, gracious,
yes,
right.
Yes. and go door to door out on the streets preaching. So very, very familiar with that sort of work. And in, I think it's 95, we moved to a new housing estate that was just being built called Chafford Hundred. My wife Anita started to work with a parent and toddler group there. We started to see people being saved. There wasn't a church on Chafford Hundred, and long story short, it's God led us to start something with a team of people on the estate. And so in 1996, Community Church was planted. And a few people joined us from other churches, but also people that we'd seen come to faith had somewhere to go in the community.
Great.
That's how we started, about 30 people.
And this was independent of the Salvation Army?
Yes, yes, it was independent of the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army is only just down the road, and so they didn't want to duplicate, so we felt that we had to do something on the estate, but it was apart from that, yeah.
Yeah. So you said it was a new kind of New estate where you based is sort of a housing company that a building company came in and built homes.
Yeah, it was in the chalk bits really.
Okay.
And the build was gradual because it went through a recession at the time, and there's eventually 5,000 homes there.
Oh wow.
And so over a period of maybe 10 years that was built. And it's a diverse community now. Lots of nations living on Chafford Hundred, and lots of Christians living on Chafford. When we knew that this new housing estate was going to be built, we spent a time praying that God would bring Christians there, and he answered our prayers. And we've got lots of Christians living on the estate. It's only 35 minutes from London, so it's a
I was going to ask you about location. Yeah. Where's the nearest big town?
The nearest big town is London, really.
Okay.
Southend one way, London the other way, Chelmsford the other way, all about the same distance from us. But it's a commuting community, 35 minutes into London.
Yeah.
So during the day, it can be a bit quiet on the estate.
I can imagine.
Still a few people around.
Good, good. And what fills your time?
So, obviously, I'm married 33 years to my lovely wife, Anita. I have three children. One of them still lives at home. So family time like that. But I'm actually supported by the church to work 4 days a week as an elder. We have an eldership team of 8 people, and 2 of us are released to work for the church. So I have 4 days in working for church, but I'm an accountant by profession, so I still do 1 day a week for business, come up to London to work for the companies that I work for. That's what I do with my time at the moment.
So I mentioned in the introduction that you discovered a new approach to evangelism. So how did all that come about?
So, yeah, as I mentioned in the early days, I think we were very missional and evangelistic, and we were seeing people saved, and we love Alpha and stuff like that. And and we have over the years, always, every year, seen people come to faith. You know, sometimes 10, 15 sort of thing a year, which is lovely. And but as the church grew and grew, I think I found myself more like a manager of what was there rather than pioneering, which is, I think, where my heart is. And so... we had a good friend of mine, Russell, who lives just down the road in the same borough in Thurrock, and he was a church leader, but gave it all up to do this evangelism. And I was really interested in why, and why he'd make such a rash decision. And so I went along to talk to him, and he said, "Well, come along to the training." So I went to his training, and he introduced me to some tools and some strategies for evangelism. I wasn't convinced to start with, and so I said, "I'll come along to another one." So I went to a second one. I actually went to three training sessions with him. I thought, "Yes, this is going to be really helpful." And so I caught hold really of what actually the Bible teaches we should be doing, and was receiving some very simple tools and strategies to put it into practice. And I thought, this is something that would benefit us as a church and me personally, because I was not sharing my faith as I should have been. So we learnt a lot, and then I think, Andy, the thing is that I needed to put it into practice. So I just started to put this all into practice and see what God did. In any situation, in churches, in Alpha, but even on the streets, in restaurants, wherever I could find an opportunity, just to put some of these tools into practice. And much to my amazement, and I shouldn't be amazed, what God does, it works. The gospel is powerful. You start to see people interested, and people are receptive. And now I've got a robust way of sharing the gospel, which I'm confident in, and I know is very fruitful. So that whole process of learning that, for me, has just sparked something again in me. This pioneering spirit to be missional. So it stirred me to start with. And I was hiding behind the fact that I was a church leader, that only knew Christians, and I don't have any opportunity to share the gospel. Was challenged to say, no, that's not the case. So now I'm saying, I'm apologising. As a church, I have so many opportunities. You know, I'm bumping into people all over the place. And so many opportunities to share my faith that it's wonderful. So I've completely changed over the past 3 years.
So you talk about the tools, and we can point people to a website which shows you. I did that. I suppose some people will be familiar with the kind of bridge illustration of man going across Jesus is the cross in between, or the two ways to live illustration. But this is that kind of tool. So it's a way in which you can... And talking to someone, describe the faith by doing simple drawings.
Yes, exactly. So when we teach this, and I do go around teaching lots of churches, is if you've got a way of sharing the gospel and it's fruitful and effective, please carry on doing what you're doing, because the tools never saved anybody.
Yes.
You know, it's the gospel that saves people.
Sure.
That's what we need to be presenting. But we use something we call the three circles, it is a very effective and fruitful tool. And you can then share the gospel, which is robust in its biblical basis, in under 3 minutes with somebody, in a way that they can understand, and a way that ends with a question that they have to answer, which makes them think about where they are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So we've got this good tool, and I say to people, if you are sharing the gospel, carry on doing what you're doing. If you are not, then we can help you to do that, and you can feel confident in doing that using this three-circle tools that we use. And so that's what we've adopted. But the whole training is much more than that, Andy. It's about entry. How do we connect with people? How do we strike up conversations? It's about gospel sharing, but it's also about discipleship. You know, to get someone to pray a prayer is only the start, and that's not what Jesus said, go make disciples. So we've got some good tools to help us disciple new Christians and make sure that we ground them in the faith well, not just to pray a prayer and then put them in a church somewhere.
Indeed.
And so, and then it goes on to how to form churches as well. So if you're gathering disciples together, how do you form healthy churches and see this then multiplied again? Mm. And so the whole training covers a much bigger area than just the gospel sharing, although that obviously is core as our core missionary task to go and make disciples, and we need to share the gospel. But it covers a lot bigger area as far as the church movement is concerned, which is very exciting.
Sure. Well, we're coming up to a break in a minute, but just to start the question, so you took this back to your church leaders. You'd shared that you were a little bit uncertain initially. What? How did they respond when you talked about it?
So initially they were uncertain because they hadn't been on the training, been part of that journey. And so I started telling my stories about how I've been sharing the faith and how people have been turning to believe in, how I've started to disciple people and try to pass on some of the training to them. And it took quite a while because there's eight elders in our team. But eventually they said, yes, this is what we're going to do. And so we adopted this as a church. Say, this: if we're going to teach someone to share the gospel, this is what we're going to use. This is the tool that we're going to adopt. And this is what we're going to do as a whole church. And so it took time, but I wouldn't go ahead until we had that unity in the eldership. And once we've got that, then we can then go through the whole church and start to train everybody based on the fact that we agreed that this is the tool that we're going to be using.
Great. We're listening to Leadership Fire with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Dave Barham. Dave is one of the leaders of Community Church Chafford 100, which is in the Fair County of Essex. And we'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership Fire with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Dave Barham. Dave is one of the leaders of Community Church Chafford 100, 35 minutes or so commute from London. He's been a church planter. He helped plant the church in 1996. And we're talking particularly about kind of a renaissance, if you like, for David, of seeing people come to faith, particularly through an approach, a tool that can enable us to simply communicate the good news of Jesus in a way that helps people to understand and respond. So I was impressed, David, with what you said about waiting for the other leaders. And I think that's probably a kind of lesson in terms of, you know, for many, there's the belief that leadership is having a clear vision and going for it almost irrespective. And if people don't like it, well, they need to, you know, get out of the way. But you clearly wanted, you know, to give people space, because you've taken a while yourself to understand this, and so they needed the time as well.
Absolutely. So I think that's true. People are coming from different places, and so you need to try and bring as many people with you as possible, and that starts with the leaders of the church. And as we are a team, we're not a pastor with a team, we are a team. I don't work on my own, so it was essential that the eldership team was united about the way forward in our evangelism. And so, yeah, it took a little while, but it's worth it. It's good to have unity at the leadership level, because then the church will follow. And the church is all in different places as well. So it takes time for people in the church to grab hold of some of this stuff. And even today, we've been doing this for 4 years now. There are many in the church that still haven't grasped hold of this, which is fine. But we're just keeping encouraging people and sharing some of our stories. Eventually, I think more and more people will catch hold of the fact that we should all be witnessing to what Jesus is doing.
So, David, you've seen a number of churches grow. You oversee the South Essex cluster for Relational Mission. Any similarities in terms of how they've grown?
Yes, the interesting thing is that we don't all use the same tools. So we've got a church over in Braintree using Spirit Cafe, which has been very fruitful in seeing people turn and believe in Jesus. And so we're not insisting that everyone has to do exactly the same. As long as the gospel is shared in some way, we will see growth. And for the churches, obviously, churches need to be Bible-based, Spirit-filled, worshipping churches. That's the foundation of a growing church, really. And I think also loving one another. We shouldn't neglect the fact that the church Jesus said that they will know you're my disciples because you love one another. Mm. And so the church is attractional. People will just come because Jesus is there. And so we should be always expecting people to come and join us in that way. But I think we need to be missional. Not everyone's going to come to church. We need to be out in everyday life sharing Jesus through the things that we do, kind works, good words, just being good to people and kind to people, through signs and wonders, praying for the sick and seeing them heal, but also through our words, that we can communicate the gospel clearly so people understand what the good news of Jesus Christ is all about.
And have there been particular people who've influenced you? I mean, you mentioned Salvation Army growing up.
Yes, of course, William Booth is a hero. He's just a wonderful pioneer in the church. Most of our influence, obviously, is from the Bible. We do the things, all this training also comes straight from the Bible. So we look at what Jesus did. Mm. How did he go about mission? And how did he tell his disciples to go about mission? Mm. So we're looking at that. And then we're looking at the early church. So that's our influence, really. It should all be come from the Bible. Obviously, I've mentioned Russell already. He was the one who brought this to our borough, if you like, and has been influential in training.
Russell Godwood?
Russell Godwood, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's been great. And then we belong to just a coalition of churches, really, that are all practicing the same things called No Place Left. So we're joining with people from Manchester, from Ireland and London and other places where we just encourage one another and just to best practices anywhere we're stuck. Other people might help us to move on. So there's a network of people that are supporting and encouraging each other, which is really helpful. Mm.
And the No Place Left, of course, comes from the tail end of Romans, where Paul says there's no place left for the gospel. You know, that's what you're hoping.
That's exactly what we're hoping.
Will be the case.
Big vision.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Yeah, good stuff. And you've been at this a while.
Yes.
So, you know, what keeps you going?
It's, to be very open and realistic, this is hard.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's slow. Sometimes it's frustrating. And you see people turn and believe, and you start discipling, and they drop off again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's not, though we have a very clear pathway for discipleship, which is linear, if you like, it never ever really goes that way.
Sure.
And so it can be quite hard to keep going. But when you are leading people to Jesus and you see people turn and believe, it does something for you. It's such a celebration, such joy that you say, yes, this is what God has called us to do. So I think seeing people turn and believe on Jesus keeps you going. Seeing people's lives transform, drug addicts that are no longer addicted, alcoholics that have given up the drink, whole families that have been reconciled because of the gospel of Jesus. You know, when you see these transformations coming all around you, that's the good news of Jesus, and that's what keeps us going. And not only that, Andy, I suppose, even if none of that was happening, I suppose what would keep me going is Jesus told us this is what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. He said, go and make disciples. So it's a command.
Yeah.
And I want to be obedient. So I'm pleased and thankful to God for fruitfulness. But ultimately, it's an obedience-based message, really, that we're carrying, that we've got to go and do this because Jesus told us that we should.
Yeah. You mentioned that you... a lot of people are a bit nervous about street work or open air type of work. Have you got a kind of approach? You know, if you go to Saturday, Saturday morning or wherever, what would you do? Yeah. I mean, there's lots of open air campaigners do their sketchboard or does some people use questionnaires? Yeah. I don't know what.
Yeah. So we have a very simple approach.
Right.
Everything we do should be simple and reproducible.
Okay.
And so if we're in the high street or we're knocked door to door, our approach is, hi, we're in the community, wanting to bless people. Mm. Is there anything we can pray for you for?
Okay.
And that's our opening question.
Okay. Yeah.
And often we get, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get, yes, please, and they ask us to pray. If they do, or even if they don't, we then say, can we just share with you what we believe as followers of Jesus? And that's the next step, which is to share the gospel.
Okay.
So we have an entry question, which is an early offer of prayer, and then the gospel question, can we just share with you? And that is our standard way of connecting with people on the streets. And what we've found is, well, I've got the stats here, which is over just over a period of time, 576 people. So it's a big selection of people.
576, okay.
Yeah, so 500 odd people. 44% of those allowed us to pray with them.
Wow.
And nearly 40% of them allowed us to share the gospel. So there's an openness of people that want to hear the gospel and want to receive prayer. You never know what the prayer request might be.
Yes.
We've had all sorts. We were knocking on doors and one lady just lost her brother. So she was bereaved and we should be able to pray comfort and peace over her. We've had similar things like Saturday afternoon, pray that Liverpool will score the next goal, of thing, world peace and those sort of things.
But
we just engage with people through prayer and then open the opportunity to share the gospel. And we're seeing people turn and believe on the streets. And then when that happens, the very next thing we do is, when can we meet again? Because we want to start to help you to follow Jesus. And we try to meet them within 7 days so that we can follow up. And we ask them also, who else do you think that you know would be interested to hear about this? And they may then bring someone along, or people of their family or friends, to come and hear. And our first discipleship session with them, there'll be others sitting there wanting to hear about Jesus. So that's our approach. It's very simple, but it is fruitful.
Particular locations on streets?
No, we found some very good places. The marketplace is good. Door-to-door is the hardest.
Yeah.
You know, we have been out. We went out just in our local area where I live. And we were out for an hour or so just one Saturday morning. We got nowhere. No one wanted to talk to us.
Even the
Christians didn't want to talk to
us.
So sometimes it's hard. But we found in the summer in parks and places like that, people are relaxing. You can talk easily with people like that. But shopping malls, high streets, marketplaces are usually good places just to go and connect with people and offer prayer.
Yeah.
And people respond.
Wonderful. Yeah, great. And what do you hope to see happen in the future, David?
Yeah, it's just to some degree we're really just at the start of this. I mean, Chafford Hundreds is a small community, 14,000 people. We are blessed. We've got a lot of Christians there. So if you are being very generous, we might have 5% of the population following Jesus, which means, which is our brutal facts, if you like, there's 13,000 people not following Jesus, 13,300 people in our community that are lost and far from God.
Yeah.
That's massive. And so to some degree, we're nowhere in reaching these people, but we are going street by street trying to share the gospel with people. And our heart to the future is that we will see disciples making disciples that make disciples. We have, praise God, just had a fourth generation of disciples come 2 weeks ago where we see this happening and multiplying. And so we need to, when we raise up disciples, new disciples, we're teaching them immediately how to share the gospel because they've got people all around them that don't know Jesus. And so the vision is to see disciples making disciples, churches planting churches, and so that we will see this multiplied through communities, through nations, until the gospel is going to every corner of culture and every sphere of society to hear about Jesus.
Well, it's a wonderful dream, David. So thank you. Thanks for sharing it and for your enthusiasm. And so if people wanted to find out about the three circles, there's websites they
can go to? Yeah, they can search No Place Left.
No Place Left.
And they'll find a website, and it's got all of these tools and other teaching tools on there.
Yeah, I saw it, and someone's doing it on video. Yeah, so you can watch it being
Just search that.
No Place Left. Fabulous.
Thank you.
Good. Well, thank you, David, and thank you for listening, for joining us this Sunday, if you're listening live or via the podcast. Look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Of course, you can go to Premier's website and get archived versions of Leadership Fire. You can go to the store and get my book, Leadership Road Less Travelled, which includes material from conversations I've had over the years. So, do avail yourselves of those things. Go to No Place Left and find out these tools and see if they could be of service to you where God has placed you, whether in the UK or overseas. So, again, join us next Sunday at 3:30. God bless.
You've been listening to The Leadership File on Premier. Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.